Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
All right, Melissa, we are doing Getting Savvy in Health and Wealth, episode 8.
Yeah.
It's coming along.
I know. We've done 8 episodes. It's impressive.
Yeah, it is. It's
time
good.
Flies. We're having fun, hey?
It does definitely fly. Speaking of fun, we'll just get right into this. Recapping last week, I did go to the Mike Tyson fight. I was recording from Dallas.
So fun.
It was so fun. It was pretty wild, like this massive stadium. And when Jake Paul came in that car, like just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like, what am I watching? And then Mike Tyson just walks right out.
Focused.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Did you watch it?
Yeah. So, no, I watched the whole thing. So we watched it at home and we watched the pre-fights. I have to say the women fight was crazy. Oh my gosh. Like that eyebrow, like the laceration she got in her eyebrow and how the other one kept headbutting her. Or not headbutting, but like moving her head.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that was a good fight. And then we stayed up to watch the Tyson fight. And what was the sentiment in the building after that? Were people a little bit disappointed?
I think so. But I think people kind of really wanted Mike Tyson to win. Obviously,
of course,
not obviously, but I think so. And then, but the crazy thing is, like, we were in a box with about like 80 people. It was a big box. All people knew each other, and well, friends of friends, and and a lot of the guys, Melissa, they could not watch the woman fight when her eye started bleeding and it got detached a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know,
they got grossed out.
They were so grossed out.
We were fine at home. We were like, bring it on.
Yeah.
But I think people were unhappy with that outcome, right? I think a lot of people thought that she should have won and that it was unfair that the other one was fighting a little bit dirty. And that, not that it's rigged, but that it's hard to defeat the reigning champion, right? So it goes to show you the subjective nature of some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff after saying, you know, what about the Tyson and Jake Paul? Like, did they both got paid, what, $20 million each?
Tyson, I think, got 20, and I think Jake got 40 or 50. I think 40. Yeah.
Wow. So that's like a big, so the question is like, did they, you know, talk in advance to don't hurt me too badly or don't do enough? I don't think so, actually, because I think when you're in the ring and you're competing like that, I think you want to win.
Yeah.
And your adrenaline takes over. And yeah. And I'm watching Mike Tyson from home though, because I'm sure it was different than you in person. He seemed just weak in his legs, like his leg. And it just goes when we talk about in medicine, always, we always talk about aging and the importance of leg strength. And there's a correlation between the stronger your legs, the longer your life. And it's correlated with longevity. And a lot of people focus on their upper body with weights and they forget to train their lower legs. So, you know, boxing, you think of upper body strength, but I mean, it's so hard to be able to stay in the ring and fight at any age, never mind when you're pushing 60 or however old he is, 60 years old. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, Melissa, to talk about your body, but you do have strong legs. For people who don't know, you were a competitive gymnast and I was a competitive figure skater. So my legs are much more naturally strong. So it's easy for me to do that. But I didn't know that about like strong legs, strong life. Like, do you purposely plan working out to make sure your legs are strong?
You know, it's funny because I used to hate it. I used to always feel a little bit insecure that I had these like strong muscles in my legs and I wanted that, you know, to have more model skinny legs. But now as I've gotten older, I appreciate it a lot more because there is this correlation. First of all, it's the largest muscles in your body are in your legs and buttocks. And so that more muscle you have, the better your metabolism. And so now, I mean, I like to keep that muscle mass. Whereas before I would try to avoid doing things that might build my legs too much. But now I enjoy, you know, cycling and squats and oh my gosh, I did this Pilates reformer workout last week and my legs burned for days after. So Any sort of, as you age, they say you want to do everything you can to keep your collagen and do everything you can to keep your muscles.
Okay. The collagen. Yeah, I guess I do the muscles too. Let's talk a little bit about the markets. So the markets, if you remember last week, they had kind of stalled out a little bit because people were saying, okay, the first week after Trump got elected, markets were on fire. Last week, a little bit of stalling out because it's kind of like, okay, well, what is he going to do? What's he going to be able to achieve? And what is going to happen with respect to tariffs? Because that can cause inflation and also has a lot of other implications. This week, however, we're back off to the races. We're seeing the markets in the United States as well as Canada up pretty strongly across the board. A lot of the companies have already reported their earnings, and the earnings, were pretty good, maybe a little bit mixed, but pretty good. And so that's a positive. We've also gotten some positive economic data in the United States specifically. So that's helping those markets. The TSX also seems to be performing okay. It actually hit an all-time high yesterday. But again, our market very different from the States. We started to see a bit of a tick up in energy as well as also gold. So that's helpful. But I'd point out a couple of things here. One is that the Canadian dollar did dip below 70 cents. So currencies are always reflective. I mean, they're reflective of a number of things, but they're often reflective of your economy.
I
And
thought it was back up to 71 cents, no?
it was, but it dipped below. It did dip
Oh,
below.
okay.
I'll have to look at the timing of that. But the reason why I point that out is because you're continuing to see this divergence in economic policy and what it will mean for us. In other words, with Trump being pro-growth and pro-America, and the policies here that have been anti-growth, you can just see it in the numbers. You don't have to take my opinion for it. And the fact that people are having such an issue with affordability and inflation and higher rates. Food bank usage, it's at a record high. And interestingly, 20% of the users are actually employed. So even though you have a job, you're still not able to make ends meet.
Well, can anybody go to the food bank, or do you have to get a specific?
I don't think you need anything to go to the
Are
food
people
bank. I
just
don't
going there
think.
because it's free?
Because it helps them make the ends meet, I believe. But I don't know. But I will find out. The best thing to always say is I don't know, but I'll find out. But you may have seen, people may be aware that Trudeau just announced he's gonna stop GST for the next couple of months to help families. But all that does is put more temporary money into people's pockets so that they spend more, and it's too much money chasing too few goods. And that leads to inflation, number one. Number two, because the Canadian dollar, and you and I have talked about this, because it's so low, everything that we do import is that much more expensive. So even if he's giving people $250, don't get so excited and slashing the GST because, the Canadian dollar is so weak because of all of these anti-growth policies and carbon tax. Remember, a lot of companies don't want to invest with all these extra costs to do business here in Canada, like the carbon tax. And so, now we're just going to import more inflation, is my view. So it's difficult. It's difficult.
I saw that interesting, they're not going to charge GST on certain things, and I think that will help a lot of people with their Christmas shopping. But it's like whenever you're given a gift card, right? It's like a double-edged sword because then you get a gift card and then you always inevitably spend more than you would plan to anyway. So another they may just end up with more debt as a result of trying to help them. You might hurt them further by getting
Right.
people incentivized to shop with money they may not have.
Yeah. So just to point that out. But back just looking at the broader markets, the bull case, so that's the positive case, the bull case, FOMO, fear of missing out, TINA, there is no alternative. These are all like little acronyms that people look at. TINA, TINA, there is no.
I hadn't heard of Tina before.
Yeah, it's a little bit more Wall Street-y and Bay Street-y. And it just means that it's probably it, from an allocation perspective, it's maybe one of the better places to put your money is in the equity markets in the United States, and maybe Canada as well. But I think, yeah, like I always say, yeah, I think you want to be a bit more stock and sector specific in Canada. And then also earnings growth. As I said, the earnings came in, pretty good. I'd also just say that the bear case, what's the other side that you've been talking a little bit more about? Tariffs. That's a bit of a concern. Will the Fed continue to cut rates? stretched valuations. We talked a lot about valuations, and they are, you know, on the stretched side. So if you're buying something, how much upside does it really have? That's what that means. So, you know, there are some reasons to be, you know, bullish, and there's reasons to be bearish. So
For sure.
yeah, I got a couple stocks to talk about too, but which we can get into, but I wanted to do one follow-up as well, which was Warren Buffett. So you are totally right. He has a cash hoard of about $325 million. And he's apparently been buying treasuries. So basically, you know, if you go in and if you've got cash and you say, I don't really want to buy the market right now because of these stretched valuations, what do I do with it? You can put it in a certificate of deposit in Canada. So, you know, I don't know, maybe you get 3-4% or so. You can buy US treasuries. You can buy like just really kind of, you know, less risky areas of the market, and you will get your cash back and you'll earn an interest during that time frame, if that makes sense. So we are seeing him do that. I did read something though that he's raising all this cash for estate planning. So it might not be.
You don't like when I bring up his age. You don't like it, but he's 94, you
94.
know?
I know. You're right. You're right. I don't. But it. I did read something that some people think is for estate planning.
Yeah, and so then I was reading something about how if Berkshire B is, you know, holding all this cash and not investing so much, should they be giving a dividend? Or do they need to think more about that's being, you know, and we neither of us own it. You don't own it, correct?
No, I don't. I don't. I wish
And
I
so I don't
did.
know if they do give a dividend or if they don't, but or if they need to give a bigger one, but you know, we've talked about that at the beginning because I asked the question saying when a growth stock stops becoming focused on growth, do they turn into a dividend stock? And no, but some maybe if they're going to stop growing, then they have to
Yes.
pay a dividend. Yeah.
Yeah, they should give the they should give the investors a dividend yield. A dividend, yes, they
Yeah.
should. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I'm looking at it right now. It's I don't see a dividend yield. I don't see them paying a dividend, Berkshire.
Yeah,
But you never
so
know. So
maybe that's
sometimes
the next step. Yeah.
what some companies can do, which I like, and I own one that does this, they do a special dividend, which is great. In other words, they don't commit to always giving a quarterly dividend, but if they have a pileup of cash, they do what's called a special dividend. And
A bonus.
they give you a bonus. It's fantastic. I
Yeah.
love it. Love it. Not many companies do that, but some do. So,
Yeah.
but tell me more what's going on in healthcare this week.
Health news. So, a couple articles caught my attention. So, I know we talk about Elon Musk and Tesla a lot. So, I wanted to talk about one of his private companies, Neuralink. So, the first human trial is now approved in Canada, and it's going to be taking place at the Toronto Western Hospital here in Toronto. So, that's the hospital that's very focused on neurosurgery. So, that makes sense. So, basically, this Neuralink. They're going to insert an implant into the brain, and they're recruiting in patients that are quadriplegic or have ALS, and that is going to be tried to be controlled by a computer or a smartphone. And the end result is hopefully they're going to look at the functionality, but what they're aiming to do with this is to see if their external devices can be controlled with just their thoughts. Which is amazing. I mean, like, it's that to me is like the wow of science and medicine and technology coming together that you could have a brain chip, put a chip in your brain that you just have to think something and something will do something.
As
You know,
opposed to
it's,
nerves,
yeah, because in these patients that doesn't
that's
work
the issue,
anymore, right? In people
right?
with ALS or quadriplegia, you know, if you've had a spinal cord injury and you can't move your arms or legs, then that's blocked. So,
That's amazing.
I mean, imagine like it's just so cool. I mean, it's to the realm of like sci-fi to me that I don't even fully understand. Like, does this mean like if you have a chip in your brain, I could say like pull the chair in and it could do it with me just thinking about it?
Well, what
I
would
don't
be
know.
pulling it though?
Like, could I just sit here if I had an implant, like a chip in my brain that was controlled externally? And I thought to myself, I would like someone to open the door. And then the door just opens.
Is that how this is
No.
supposed to work? Oh
I
my
don't think so.
God.
I maybe it's your arms and legs.
I think you're like, yeah.
Maybe they can't move their arms and legs because they're quadriplegic. And then you just think, lift my arm, and then it just lifts for you. That's, I think, how, but I'm just saying, like, it's pretty
In the
unbelievable
future, what could it
that,
do? Yeah. In the
yeah,
future,
what could it do? It's like moving things. It's like the stuff of superheroes, you know? Anyhow, I just think it's really cool. So
Yeah.
anyhow, so that's going to be happening here in Toronto at the Toronto Western, and they're recruiting patients for that now. So that's one
Wow.
article that caught my attention. And the other one is Eli Lilly, who we've talked about mostly before on the show because they're the makers of tirzepatide, known as Mounjaro, or Zepbound, the weight loss drug. But they just announced that their investigational oral once daily cholesterol lowering drug called muvalaplin reduced lipo little a levels in adults with high risk of cardiovascular events. So what does that mean? Okay, so lipoprotein little a, about one-fifth of people have elevated levels of this in their blood, and it's irrespective of how healthy they are. It's just genetically determined. And it
Okay.
increases a person's risk for heart attack and stroke because it makes the cholesterol in their arteries stickier. So it's more likely to plug up their arteries that feed oxygen to our brain and heart, leading to heart attack and stroke. And there hasn't been a way to reduce lipo little a. All we can really say to people that have this is, be healthy, you know, lead your healthiest lifestyle, don't smoke, make sure your blood pressure is under control, manage your weight. For some people, we use it as an indicator of whether we may treat them earlier with a statin drug if their cholesterol is a little bit high. But now there's this new drug, and this is the oral version. So they have IV and injectable versions that can lower it, but that's obviously difficult to use. So this is an oral drug that's in a phase two trial that's been showing to be able to lower this lipo little a. And that could be a block, but that could be hugely successful. Now, they have to prove that reducing that lipoprotein little a actually translates to improve cardiovascular outcome.
And
So
like
we'll
lower
see.
cholesterol. The whole idea is lower
So it's not,
cholesterol, isn't
it,
it?
yeah, so this isn't going to lower. So your cholesterol, when we give a patient a statin type drug like Lipitor or Crestor, so those are two of the big no name brand ones, that's going to lower their LDL, the bad cholesterol, okay? But it doesn't do anything to their lipoprotein little A. That lipoprotein little A, like I said, is just an independent risk factor that those drugs don't lower. So now they're
Wow.
looking at these invest, they're looking at new drugs that may lower that aspect, that lipo little a. And
So
if they can have
question.
an oral, pardon
Yeah.
me?
Well, so question
Yeah.
though, because
Yeah.
people take these drugs thinking I'm lowering my cholesterol, so that's good, so then I have less risk of heart attack. But if what you're telling me is that part of having a higher cholesterol is you do have lipo little A, does everybody
So
have
it's
lipo? Not everybody.
no, one in five people
One in
will
five.
have an elevated lipo little a. So we now, it's a one-time test. You don't have to test this year over year because if it's elevated, nothing you're going to do is going to lower it. Like, in other words, quitting smoking is not going to lower that lipo little a. You know, losing weight is not going to lower that lipo little a. It just happens to be your genetic, you inherited that genetic increased risk towards heart attack and stroke. So I measure this for patients at their physical one time, and I make a note in the chart if they have it or don't have it. And the reason I find it important for me to know is because I might, you know, let's say you have a slightly elevated LDL cholesterol, and I'm on the fence about whether to treat it. If you carry this lipoprotein little A factor, I would be more inclined to say yes, treat. If you don't, I might say, okay, let's give it another year and watch it. Does that make
Got
sense?
it. That makes perfect
Yeah.
sense. I guess my only question though is, it sounds as though does the lipo little a make it, as you say, more sticky, more so than if you just had high cholesterol? Like, is there,
Yes.
it does. That's
Yes.
interesting. Okay.
Yes.
And so you're saying though, right now you can get an injection to help with that.
So there are drugs that are in phase three trials to lower it, but there's nothing approved right now that, like, if I have a patient that's elevated lipoprotein little A, there's nothing that I can give them to lower that. There's nothing right now
So
approved
interesting.
for that. Yes.
I have a follow-up question. And we didn't prepare for this, but it's just, so I don't know if there's preparation or it's just a view. When people, and I think people know I've spent half my life in the States and half my life in Canada. If you get a prescription in the States, you can say to CVS or Walgreens, you can say, I don't want the generic. Give me the real, maker's drug. In Canada, when I have asked for, the pharmaceutical company's drug versus a generic, they're like, we don't have it, we don't carry it. What's
Oh.
your view of this?
So this is actually funny because I was actually just thinking about this myself the other day. So we assume that a generic drug is just the exact same thing as the name brand, that now it's come off patent, so other people are allowed to make it. But it must have a slightly different makeup, right? They're going to use slightly different, they have to have the same active compound in it, but they could use other different fillers and other different things in the drug. Now, sometimes when I write a prescription for a drug, the patient may ask me to write name brand only if they only want the name. Because some people are just, nope, I only want the name brand because they think that that's the best and they don't want the generic. It's like, can you tell the difference between if you have a can of Coca-Cola or you go to the movie theater and they give it to you from the fountain? It's,
Most definitely.
right. So maybe it's different. And, some people swear that on the name brand, they got less side effects than they did on the generic. Now, if you have a drug plan, your drug company may only cover the generic and not, you might have to pay out of pocket for the name brand, but a lot of people are fine with that.
So why were you looking at this, or why is it funny?
So I was just talking about it because someone had asked me for, they had said to me on their script, write name brand only. Like, they don't like taking generics. And I remember thinking, like, okay, because eventually things come off patent and then the pharmacy will just start giving you the generic version of it.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that. In terms of just speaking of Elon, I'm going to keep us up to date on Tesla. It's extending its rally.
Yeah, you're happy.
I mean, I forget what I bought it at. I bought it $251. It's at $353. It's just been pretty unbelievable. Part of it too, as we know, Trump is planning to make EVs part of a federal framework, like really kind of having a federal framework for fully self-driving vehicles. So that's just kind of some of those aspects are just continuing to. To really fuel this stock. But again, you and I have talked about this. It's a volatile stock. When you look at the high, I always look at what the high, the 52-week high and low range for the stock price, and it is all over the map. So, I'm up 40%. Should I sell it? Probably. Have I? No. So anyway, not good at selling
I was
stocks. I
thinking
like
about, so
talking.
whenever we think about self-driving cars and robo-taxis, we think about Tesla, right? But I just learned last week that Waymo is actually already operational with their self-driving cars, and they're actually owned by Alphabet. So Google's actually ahead, or not, like, Alphabet's actually ahead of Tesla in its self-driving AI. Waymo's out there operationally and working. And you saw, I sent you that video that, who was it, Jimmy Kimmel did a funny bit on calling a Waymo for his mother-in-law or aunt or something like that, and she didn't know, and then the car starts driving. So Waymo is already there with its functionality. And then apparently there's a
But I don't know where
competitor
they
in
are in
Vegas.
terms of, I don't know where they are in terms of production ability, et
But
cetera.
they're in multiple markets, in LA, in California, in Texas, and now apparently in Vegas, their Amazon has a self-driving robo-taxi competitor that's launched. So Amazon and Alphabet are in this self-driving race with Tesla.
So you're saying
I
there's
don't know. I
competition, Catherine. You might want to look at
think
the
there's
competition.
competition. It
Tell us.
seems like, yeah.
Probably,
And
maybe.
all of the, it seems, no wonder AI stocks are like it's
Yeah.
obviously if these big companies that it seems like they're all focused on their
Speaking of AI,
AI.
remember that company we talked about, I think 2 weeks ago? It's called Vertiv, and the
Yep.
ticker is VRT. I did look at a research report on it, and the reports are very positive. They have strong margins, they've got strong revenue, strong return on equity. There's a belief that, so this again is, so this plays into the AI theme. So you said to me, what I want to have some kind of AI exposure. We talked about Nvidia. NVIDIA is the darling chip that powers AI. That stock is continuing to be, the number one stock to really look at, I think, as it relates to AI. But what are some derivatives that you can play? So a VRTV, or sorry, Vertiv, is one that has the cooling system. Remember, your phone, if you use it a lot, is hot. So just imagine the energy required to power data and data centers for the purpose of AI. So this company has a cooling system that manages the temperatures for these data centers. So it's, I think, a really interesting theme, Melissa, that you brought up and wanted to talk about. They believe that they've got a competitive advantage. They've got unique positions with their customers. NVIDIA is one of their customers, apparently. And they've got complete solutions. So this liquid cooling with refrigeration techniques. And so there's, some real positive comments on the stock if you have any interest in it. The one issue, though, for me is it trades at 45 times. So it's, to me,
Right,
it's not a
expensive
cheap
already.
stock. A lot of growth stocks are not. So sometimes you just have to bite the bullet, or just look for a pullback. But again, the ticker is VRT, and price target for one company, like one research analyst I'm looking at, his price target's $140, and the stock's around 123. So it's only like 13% upside. But that's always a 12-month price target, like I've mentioned to you before. When you see price targets from analysts, it's often just a 12-month price target. So if you're a big believer in this and AI, you plug your nose and you jump in. I'm not yet, but some people do, obviously. So the other one thing I just wanted to mention to you, I don't know if you followed this week, but you may have noticed that Bitcoin hit $100,000. Do you own any? I can't
I
remember.
do. Yeah, I
Oh,
do.
good.
Yeah. But I owe it through that ETF I told you about, that BTCC.
Right. Yep.
So I don't,
Okay.
I mean, that's how I have
That's good.
exposure to it. Yeah, it's, Trump wants to make the US the crypto capital of the world. So to the
Are you gonna
moon.
toodaloo?
To
Toodaloo. Are
the moon. And
you
now with his
selling?
bromance with Trump, with Musk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I still is it, like if you're going to be one of these people that thinks that Warren Buffett's the guru, or just irrespective of his age, and that he might not under, but it has no value. Like what is it, right? If someone's not going to pay you more for it, then it's not, it doesn't produce anything, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't make anything. So that's been his view on cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. It's just a storage. It's just a way to store value,
Store of value.
And
Well,
so what is
it
it?
well, it's a store of value, and it's also one that can't be manipulated by central bankers, right? Every time they print more money, change the rates, they're essentially devaluing, debasing respective currencies. And so that's why it's really taken off even more so lately with respect to how central bankers and the amount of debt that they've been accumulating over, well, since the financial crisis, essentially. How that's impacting currencies and interest rates and inflation. So that's why people are like, well, why wouldn't we look for another type of system? And some people believe there will be another system. I don't know about that. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime or our lifetime, but But I do think that
I don't
there's
know. It just seems like it's the type of thing that you store wealth with, but does anybody spend their Bitcoin? Everybody I've heard that spent their Bitcoin, they make fun of them later because they're like, look, you bought two medium pizzas with Bitcoin that today's worth $150 million.
That's
Those are
right.
pretty expensive pizzas.
That's
You know,
exactly
so
it.
like,
So don't, so you're saying people aren't spending as much right now. And
so I
I
don't
don't
know.
know.
Like, right? You got to be afraid to, yeah,
To use it as a
when it moves
currency is what you're
stuff
saying.
to use as a currency. But yeah, it's not regulated. Like, yeah, it's,
So we'll see. What else? You
it, we'll
wanted to talk
see.
something with respect to Mike Tyson and how he was ill before in the summer.
Oh yeah, so it got me thinking in terms of like, you know, we do a little classroom on the podcast talking about, you know, educating people on, you know, certain health and wealth topics. So I read something. Some people were a little bit, you know, disappointed by his performance. And they made a note that, you know, just a few months prior, like he had already delayed the fight because he was hospitalized. So apparently, like I saw some interview with him saying that he was on a flight and started throwing up blood, like, and, you know, having black bowel movements and throwing up blood. And so he was hospitalized with a large bleeding ulcer in his, I don't know if it was his stomach, right? So I thought we could talk about like, what is that? What's peptic ulcer disease? So peptic ulcer disease is, you know, when you get an ulcer in your stomach or duodenum, that's the top part of your intestine. And what causes that? What predisposes to that? So the two major factors that are usually at play when someone has one of these peptic ulcers is one, something called H. pylori. So that's a bacteria that can live in your stomach and often be asymptomatic. Some people just don't know they have it at all, but it can be a risk factor for ulcer disease and even certain types of stomach cancer. And it's more prevalent in certain parts of the world. So in Africa, South America, Asia, sometimes children have it and they don't realize it because it's transmitted through saliva. So it's possible that maybe he had H. pylori and didn't know. So people wonder, well, how would I know if I had H. pylori? So if you've ever had a scope, a gastroscopy, they biopsy the stomach and they test for it. Otherwise, you wouldn't know unless you were having symptoms. So some people end up having symptoms like heartburn or indigestion or stomach pains. So we'll do a test to see if they have H. pylori. And it's often a breath test, a urine breath test that looks for whether they have H. pylori. So I thought about that. And the other big risk factor is NSAID use. So NSAID is non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So they're anti-inflammatory. So in the category of like Advil, Aleve, naproxen, some of the prescription ones. So if you think about someone like Mike Tyson, okay, so it's possible that he had H. pylori and he's a boxer. He's probably got a lot of pain. So it's possible he pops a lot of Advil or a lot of anti-inflammatory drugs. So that could have set the stage. And then there's lifestyle factors. So smoking, alcohol, and cocaine use can also predispose. And I think he's been quite vocal about some of his partying ways in
Oh,
the
I didn't know
past.
that.
Yeah, like I saw, did you ever see the movies The Hangover?
My favorite movies.
Yeah, you know, when he's that scene when he's in Vegas with the tiger. So he's said he's surprised he could even film that movie because he was so high on cocaine.
Oh, I didn't know
So
that.
yeah, I didn't know that either, but it was an interview where he admits that. So I think if you look at Mike Tyson, it's not a shock when we think, okay, he might have had this bleeding ulcer. So that could be why, you know, and the way it would present is often it presents with something called melena. Melena is the fancy medical term for black tarry stools. So if you have black stools, if you're throwing up something that looks like coffee grounds or blood, that could be a symptom that you have an ulcer and you definitely need to get checked. Yeah, so I just thought that was a little interesting classroom.
I think I mentioned to you, I can't remember, that I have interviewed Mike Tyson. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you said that's so cool. He's a cool guy. I mean,
He
he's
was
an
so
icon.
great. It was so great.
How is his
There's
voice in person?
I don't remember his voice. I remember his being. I mean, he's just like
Yeah.
presence, you know, sitting across from me on the anchor desk. It's just unbelievable. And he was so lovely. There is a story. There's an interesting backstory. I don't even know if I should make it public, even though, it, you know, I don't know. But that's for another time. Because Melissa, do you have to go?
Are we already at the hour mark?
Well, no, but do you, what's your heart out? You're the one.
Oh, I'm good till 3:30.
Okay, good.
And then I've got a hard stop.
Okay, well, I'm going to save the Mike Tyson story. I got to think about it. But the other thing, so you asked me to look at Lululemon stock. You asked me to look at Aritzia, and I also looked at Domino Pizza. And as I'm sitting there, like I went through Lulu, and like, and then I went through Aritzia, and then I'm like, I don't really love either of these. But I did the work. Let me just, and I'll tell you why. Okay, you look at a Lululemon. Mm-hmm. It's been a darling stock for a very long time. Because it was in this growth phase, right? When you've got a new concept and you're growing the store footprint and everybody is wanting your product and wanting to wear Lululemon. Remember, that goes back like 10, 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
If you really think about it. And the whole casualization of America, right? People stopped wearing proper pants and just put on their Lululemons with a blazer. So that those were the beginning stages of a true growth company. And so now it's a little bit less of a growth company. And because they basically defined the category, now you've got so much competition as well. So, you know, I look at it, even though it's a good company, it's a fine company. We like the brand, you know, we like the company management, what they're doing. Like, is it enough for me to say, yes, I want to put money to work here because, you know, the comps, so their sales have decelerated a little bit in a recent quarter, the fall quarter. They have seen some slowing growth across geographies, also in the United States in particular. They saw some weakness. So, you know, on the positive side, sometimes when you become a little bit more established or mature, you're then able to find where the costs are and extract some of those costs. Your margins get a little bit better. So you're still able to maintain a nice earnings. But is it something that I necessarily want to buy it at this point in the company's cycle? That's my where I currently stand. Now, the only other thing I would say though, Melissa, is it's down 36% on a year-to-date.
That's what I'm saying. Like maybe now's the time, right?
It's possible.
It's down a lot.
It's down.
And I mean, I will say that, like, did you notice that both the female boxers in the ring at the Tyson fight were wearing Lululemon sports bras?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it's still the best.
Is
I mean,
it?
I, like personally, do you think like if you're going to work out, is it like if I'm going to wear comfortable workout pants? Now, maybe this is just because of my big leg muscles. I don't know. But the other workout wear is not as comfortable for me as Lululemon.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me give you another few positives, okay? Because this is actually really interesting. Very strong sales productivity. So I used to cover retail stocks as a junior equity analyst. They have they get $2,500 per square foot in their store. That's how much product they're able to sell for one square foot. That's massive.
Wow.
It's a leader. It's a leader in retail. So they obviously have the product. And you have to remember, to your point about saying how much you love their product, that is why they did so well in the beginning days was their fabric,
it's
their
a
design,
great product, a great fabric,
their newness,
great design,
freshness. So that is why, and you can see it in their sales productivity. That is an outstanding number. When you think about some of the competition, like an Aloe, apparently that's more for the younger yoga people. I don't know if that's true.
Like Aloe, I just find more trendy. Like it's more wearable. It's also more expensive and. Yeah, it's more trendy. It looks good. Whereas I feel like Lululemon's actually working out in, you know?
Yeah.
And I think also you're right. It's younger because Aloe, you have to have like, I don't know if it fits as well for different body types and different ages.
Right. You can't have any menopause fat in an Aloe.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I love how also, I love how they're also made like golf wear, like attractive now. Like that was one of my big reasons for like, you know, not loving golf. Like I love everybody that's cute to wear a nice little tennis skirt, but golf, I had the ugliest clothes, but now, you know, it's got some,
That's out. But, But I also just want to point out again, when you think about buying a company, I'm just trying to point out some of the company fundamentals, right? So the management seems strong. They're a leader in their category. They defined the category. They still own the category. Their sales per square foot is tremendous. No long-term debt, $1.6 billion in cash. You know, when you think about the bigger macro risks, what would that be? Competition, the economy. Do people start getting more dressy, or do you still believe in this casualization of America? Those are some of the big picture items. Their gross margin, so how much do they make when they make a sale? 59%. So that's a very healthy gross margin. So they make money. They do make money. So, and they trade, as I said, 18 times on a PE basis versus the market at about 21 times. So they're cheaper than the market. And the stock's down 36% on a year-to-date basis versus the market up by about 22%. So to step in here, yeah, as long when you want, if you step in, you want to know, okay, well, what are they planning for this year? What's going to make that stock go up? I haven't read a lot about that yet. You know, other
Well, I
than
think that, like, how like Nike did that whole big, I mean, this is another one that's on sale right now too, that could be interesting. But when Nike did the whole thing with Jordans, right? It was like it just went crazy. Lululemon, to my knowledge, hasn't really partnered with a big celebrity athlete yet, that I can think of. Maybe that's their move. Maybe that would, I don't know, right?
It's
So,
possible. So it's not,
anyhow.
I guess all I would say is it's not a bad buy.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about the other one I was looking at was an we both talked about do we own? We've talked so much on this podcast about the weight loss drugs, the GLP-1 drugs, but neither of us own any of the companies like Eli Lilly or Novo Nordisk. But now might be a good time. I'm looking at maybe Novo Nordisk because it's a good company, and that's what I'm looking at. And apparently, Wegovy, which is their weight loss drug, just got approved in China, and there's a lot of obesity in China. So, and they've got some new interesting drugs in the pipeline. I think they also have one of these lipo little A drugs. I think I can't. Maybe no, it's Lilly that has. Oh yeah, no, Synorvis does too. It has an injectable candidate, which is doing it. But I mean, if there's an oral one that can do it, that's better than the injectable, although it may take longer.
Is it why? Oral's
I find
better?
that most people prefer to, like, I think, vaccines would have so much better uptake if people could take a pill rather than a needle. People hate needles. They do. I mean, I did my flu shot and the kids' flu shots, and it's awful to have to give a needle.
I don't like
It's
the
just
intravenous
weird.
thing.
Pardon me?
I don't mind a needle. I don't like the intravenous, like putting a
Yeah.
needle in blood in this
Yeah.
in
But
my
a lot of
arterial.
people are needle phobic.
Real thing.
It's a real thing. It's a real phobia. And especially with kids too. And a lot of people, vaccine rates are so down for kids. So we're seeing reemergence of the diseases like measles and things like that, because a lot of parents don't want to deal with the struggle with their kids of the needle and the tantrums and
The tantrums, yeah. I'm just looking at the Novo Nordisk stock. It trades at about 35 times, so the PE is 35 times, so it's richer than the market. But the stock hasn't performed that well over the past year, so it might be worth taking a look at just to see if there is a nice opportunity. Pays a tiny dividend. Because a lot of pharmaceutical companies like to take their cash and reinvest it into research. So yes, they pay a
Yeah,
dividend.
fair.
Yeah, they pay a dividend, but they don't pay a lot, is what I've seen. I just want to point out as well, Melissa, you know, instead of sometimes buying like a company specific story, like we've talked about, you can buy an ETF. So as an example, instead of buying a specific retail company, you could buy the XRT, which is an ETF that represents retail stocks. It's up 27% over the past year, and 12% on, but only 12% on a year-to-date basis. So, and we're nearly at the end of the year. So in other words, the consumer, the retail stocks have actually been an underperformer relative to the market. So with holiday spending and, you know, a pro-growth economy under Trump, the XRT might be interesting to own. Then you don't even have to do the company fundamentals.
So, you know, before we wrap, we were talking also, you know, if you're unsure about what to do in the market and volatility, that's when, you know, we've talked about, you might want to look at consumer goods and consumer staples. So I was looking at some of those, and then I heard this factoid that, what do you think the number one selling item at Costco is?
At Costco? Gosh, I want to say meat, but I don't
number
know.
One.
Number one. Is it okay? Is it in food or is it in product? No. It's in product?
It's not in food. But I think food, there's okay, it's not in food.
Socks?
No, oh, I never thought about socks. Maybe that's up there. I don't know. It's toilet paper.
No, I should have known that.
Yeah, so I was like, I think I'm going to buy. I've decided the consumer staple I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy. I like Kimberly Clark.
Have you looked at it?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't looked
at it. Let's look at it for next week also, looking at that one.
We'll look at it. We'll wrap. What are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? Today, might go out for a drink with some girlfriends. Before that, I've got a family dinner. And I'm not doing anything tomorrow night because my daughter has a figure skating competition outside of Toronto that I have to be at 7 a.m. Now, you were a figure skater. Oh, my gosh. I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to take her to this competition that she's going to be on the ice for 2 minutes and then drive home. So that's my Sunday. Oh, and I also think I'm going to try to go see the movie Wicked with Ariana Grande that came out. I really want to see it. Yeah. That's how about you? Good. Hopefully something more exciting than mine.
I'm literally, do you know what? I feel like I've been doing so many events and so many places and things. I'm going to do nothing other than get my Christmas decorations up. Yeah, I'm doing nothing, literally. That's the plan.
That would be enjoyable. So that you'll relax at home and exercise. Yeah. We need to set up a tennis match also. I was thinking about you.
Okay.
Let's play.
Done.
Because I think I'm going to play a game this week.
My husband and your husband.
Do you want to do doubles?
Yeah. Can Adam play?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that.
He can. Sure. I'm happy to do doubles. All right. It's on. Who are we betting on? You and Les or me and Adam?
Oh,
that's my alarm to be decided.
Go. I got to go. Won't answer. Okay. Talk to you later. No. Thanks, everybody. See you soon.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.